Hey everybody, my name's Peter Laws and this is the Flicks the Church Forgot, the show where I explore the deeper and occasionally spiritual themes of horror films. Now, in this little cheeky two-parter, I've been looking at two recent horror films that offer a fresh angle, if you will, on the ghost story. Now, for a review of an American horror thriller called Visions with Isla Fisher, you can check out the previous episode. But before we turn to the next ghost film, let me just repeat a plug that I gave in the last video, as it's a bit ghost related. Basically, I'm going to be speaking at a two-day conference this September at Reading University, and I'll be speaking on the title, Does God Believe in Ghosts? Now, this conference is called Seriously Strange, and it's organized by a research charity called ASAP, which is the Association for the Scientific Study of Anomalous Phenomena. What a cool name. And they aim to study the paranormal and other Fortean subjects, and there's going to be a whole bunch of different speakers there, including myself, and the various subjects covered will be vampires and UFOs and cryptozoology and other interesting unexplained things. There's even going to be live paranormal experiments and research going on that you can watch or just take part in even. There's a gala dinner to celebrate the 35th anniversary of ASAP. So basically, if you're interested in attending, it starts on Saturday, the 10th of September at 9:30 a.m. at Reading University in the UK and continues into the next day. I'm afraid I have no idea which day I'm going to be speaking on, but if you are around and you attend, do make sure you come and say hello. I'll put the information about it under the video. Okay, well, let me move on to the next ghost film tonight, which is called... what's it called? The Forgotten. Now, The Forgotten is one of those movie titles which can easily confuse if you're tapping it into a search engine in Google or something, because there's like a lot of films and novels with the title The Forgotten. For example, if you want to get really obscure, there's a pre-code drama thriller about a family that institutionalizes their dad because he like gets a bit annoying. How sweet. You can see that on archive.org, I think, for free. There's another film called that film's called The Forgotten. There's another film called Don't Look in the Basement from 1973, which is also known as Forgotten. Don't Look in the Basement's a great asylum-based horror film, which I reviewed in a podcast episode. I really recommend you check that out. There's also a science fiction horror thriller from 2004 called The Forgotten, where I did see that at the time, where I think Julianne Moore, she's like mourning the death of her son in a plane crash, only she gets told like he never existed. Can you remember that time in Hollywood where there was like a whole steady stream of movies that had these sorts of high concept, my daughter's on the plane and she's gone missing, but wait, you didn't have a daughter, that sort of vibe. Anyway, I seem to remember that film had a lot of people getting sucked up into the clouds at super high speeds. Anyway, there's a bunch of movies anyway called The Forgotten. But ironically, I've forgotten what the other ones are about. So anyway, let's move on. Stick back to this film, The Forgotten. The low-budget British horror movie, which is the directorial debut of a guy called Oliver Frampton, who also wrote the film. Now, this film was completed quite a while back. It was even shown at Frightfest way back in 2014. Yet it's only now in 2016 that it makes its way to DVD in the UK, with a cover that's littered with quotes saying that it's a must-see and that it's extremely impressive. Well, I can see why the movie has picked up such critical traction, because it really is one of the better indie horror films that you'll see on your straight to DVD shelf. It's set on a council estate, which seems to be quite in vogue at the moment. Let's call that genre concrete horror, where basically the themes of gothic, supernatural, and the fantastic creep away from the usual sort of country abodes and suburban abodes and sets up in the urban landscape. Rosemary's Baby was a great example of concrete horror in a sense, but that was still setting in a fairly attractive city. However, in films like Attack the Block, Rigor Mortis, Citadel, Tower Block, The Raid, they're all recent examples of films that explore the grim and depressing nature of concrete communities. Those films, by the way, that I just listed might not all be horror films, but they are all genre movies, and they do all use the bleakness of the council estate as a sort of backdrop or metaphor for horrible things. Of course, it's worth pointing out that life on a council estate isn't like always bleak, grey and depressing. I've attended street parties and barbecues before on concreted London council projects that may initially have looked a bit like, to be frank, like the set from Conquest of the Planet of the Apes, but the communities there were just full of life, colour and vibrancy and happiness. So anyway, that said though, The Forgotten is a horror movie, it's not a rom-com, so it's fitting and proper that they want to use the estate as a dingy, cold and very, very dark setting. The film opens with a really effective moment. We don't see anything. We just see pure blackness while we hear the audio of a terrified woman making an emergency call to 999. And so within 60 seconds or so, you get a sense that this is a film that wants to ground itself in the gritty reality of emotions and people. Anyway, so after we've heard this distressing 999 call, we're introduced to a guy called Tommy. He's this socially awkward 14-year-old boy whose mum has just apparently had some sort of nervous breakdown. And the social services have put him now in the care of his father. And we see Tommy meeting his dad in this like sort of awkward moment in the cafe as the social worker does this handover. And then the dad takes him home where he's going to live. And this is where you start getting a sense of the real, like, claustrophobia of the film, the emotional and the physical claustrophobia. You see, it turns out that his dad doesn't really have a home. He's squatting in an empty council estate that's going to be demolished very, very soon. And so there's no heat in the flat, there's no electricity. But this dad cheerfully invites his son in, Tommy, as he switches on a series of camping lanterns. Straight away you get this sense of what it must be like, I guess, to be homeless and desperate to have to live in a place like that in squalid, potentially dangerous conditions. It's all pretty grim, especially as Tommy starts to witness crime and antisocial behavior around him on the estate that he's living in. But the dad, he's trying to put a brave face on all of this. He's stealing lengths of copper piping from the other flats so that he can sell it for cash. And we get scenes like where the dad buys a takeaway for him and his son, and I don't know, they're just sitting there around, like, eating Chinese or something, or curry or whatever it is, around these lanterns in this squalid apartment. And I just felt like there'd be moments between the dad and the son where they just know this is not what the life they would have hoped for, but they're trying just to act normally through the midst of it. The son has just no other option to accept this as normal, and you can just sense the dad's, like, embarrassment but trying not to think about it, you know, living as a squatter in a total dump. I just felt there's something quite complex going on here, like this dad is thinking he's being a good parent by breaking into flats with no heating or water, but you feel like there's not much else he can do. This is his best. This is his best is spectacularly disappointing by the standards of the world. But anyway, as the time goes by and Tommy tries to settle into some sort of home life here, he soon realizes that normality is not going to be an option. Because in this particular apartment, he starts waking in the middle of the night because he's hearing strange rappings and knocks coming from the flat next door. A flat that is supposed to be abandoned, like all the other ones. Thankfully, he meets Carmen, a local girl who's confident and cool. She's willing to stick up for him against the local bullies. And together, Tommy and Carmen try to investigate what actually might be causing these odd sounds in a flat that they've been assured is empty and doesn't appear to have anyone squatting in it. Now, what works well about The Forgotten is that Frampton, the director and writer, I think he does a very good job of blending a horror movie with an emotional social drama. In terms of the horror, it's a film that's subtle, and so it's not filmed with like lots of jump scares and stuff, though it has a few. Rather, it manages to create a pretty intense feeling of claustrophobic dread in this dump of a home. But it's the addition of the personal drama, I think, which really gives the film its main impact. The lead performances are key to making that work. Tommy's dad, for example, is played by Sean Dingwall, who does a great name. And he does a great job of trying hard, but probably being depressed and embarrassed as a dad at the situation of his life. But gradually, he's starting to act more and more strangely as the film goes on. So he's great. But the real heart of the movie, I think, comes from the two understated performances of Tommy and Carmen. Carmen's played by a lady called Ellerica Gallagher, and she gives a really excellent naturalistic performance. There's something just really quite believable about her. I've met just loads of people like her in real life. And when she turns up, you're just relieved that Tommy might have found somebody decent and nice in the midst of all of his depression and stress. So she's great. But for me, it is Clem Tibber, who plays the teenager Tommy, that really makes the film work. He pumps this haunted house movie with one of its most effective ingredients, and that's a relentless sense of melancholy. Seriously, you just look at the way Tibber plays Tommy. There's this like look in his eye, the way he holds his head low and his body inward, with the way he tries to fall into his dad's odd way of living and to be polite about it, how he sits on the park bench drawing while listening to music, not on an iPhone like other kids, but on an old-fashioned CD Walkman that the other people from the estate mock but still try to steal. The way he talks softly and measured, as if, frankly, he's like invisible and he's not sure if people are going to know him or notice him, like he wants to fade away, like he's being forgotten. Then when he faces this supernatural shenanigans going on next door, it actually is oddly liberating because he has something new and adventurous to take him out of the constant dull environment of his life. There's a scene where he goes to visit his mum in hospital, and I just felt that was really well observed and quite moving. There's another moment like that, which is at the end. I won't tell you what it is, but the final scenes of this film just really settles the emotional message of the entire movie. Now, I've read some critics who really like the first part of The Forgotten, but then for some reason they feel shortchanged by the ending, like it turned a little too cliche or Hollywood or something with how it wraps up. But I wasn't bothered. I was fine with it. The whole film, I think, made me think, it made me feel sad, and it made me feel a little spooked out, which to me is a decent flight plan for a horror movie in my book. I really like the cinematography, which is makes a brilliant use of darkness. So much of this film is lit only by camping lanterns and torches on screen. It's like Silent Hill or something. But the realism of the location, the relationships and the characters mean that even though you're walking through an abandoned, haunted council flat, it manages to feel in some ways just as gothic and creepy as a trek through some ancient, ghost-filled castle. So it's an effective film, but I think The Forgotten won't be to everybody's tastes. If you're more used to the Conjuring-style rhythms of big set pieces and frequent jump scares, then you're going to feel shortchanged by this. The film does have a few scares like that and horror moments, but this is a much slower, thoughtful pace than the mainstream haunted house films you might be used to. But if you're patient and you're willing to dive into the emotional drama of it, then I do think you'll find enough to chew on here. Now, as for what the film might be saying, I suppose the clue is in the title. This film is about the forgotten underclass in our societies, these people without homes who have to wander the streets or break into buildings to find a home. It's just incredibly easy for those of us who are fortunate to have all of these things, to have homes and that, to simply forget that these people exist. Or when we do remember that they exist, we see them as like these one-dimensional characters, you know, like the way some of us, have you ever spotted a homeless person on the street and you've tried not to look at them in the eye? Like you just hurry past and maybe you might throw them some money, but you would never dream of getting into a conversation, like begin a relationship with those people or strike up a conversation and become friends. Just the other day, I was challenged on this when I was staying for a weekend in an Anglican monastery where I was finishing off as my second novel for my publisher. And I met a man that night in the TV room. This was just last month or so. And he was watching a Ray Harryhausen movie on TV called Mysterious Island with Herbert Lom. And I thought, cool, Ray Harryhausen. I sat down and watched a bit of it with him. And we watched it for a bit and we chatted and then we went for dinner. And it turned out that we were the only people due to eat that night in this monastery. I don't know where all the monks had gone. So we sat at a table together and just me and him sat and talked. And at one point we'd been given some cake that the monks had made. It's very nice. And I noticed out of the corner of my eye that the man with me, he saved his cake and he wrapped it in cellophane and just tucked it away for later. And I just figured, oh, he wants to eat in his room later, fine. Anyway, I asked him why he was staying at the monastery, and I assumed it was because he was there on some sort of spiritual retreat, or perhaps he was using the library like me. Maybe he was an academic or something, or he was writing like I was. But he said he was staying there for the week because he was cutting the grass and the lawns for the monks. And then he told me he'd be heading off the next day, and I says, oh, well, where do you live? Where are you going? And that's when he just said something that made me stop chewing and look at him. He said, oh, I'll be going back to live under the trees at the service station on the M1. And I was like, what? And he was homeless. And when I asked him what he did for what he was going to do for food for the week ahead, he says, "Well, I'm not really sure." I said, "How much money have you got?" And he said, "I've got about 90 pence to my name." And it just made me think of all those homeless guys I can easily walk past in the city or drive past in the street, who are so easy to forget because I haven't got to know them to start with, and they aren't moving in my social circles. And I don't know, sometimes I just moan about my house because I wish it was bigger. I wish I had a much bigger 4K Ultra HD TV, and I'm sitting with this guy and he's got 90 pence and no home. And I think just that's what The Forgotten reminded me of, as I watched it, the chilling way our society can keep their conscience, and I can keep my conscience while people live on the streets. How we're able to rationalize a world where in one country people are dying of starvation, while in another country they are dying of obesity and overeating. It's just kind of a messed up world when you think about it, that we're able to forget about. You know, apparently each year in America about 700 homeless people die of hypothermia. Like, that's just a shocking number. But I just find, for me, what's even more insidious and what this film makes me think about is how easy it is to forget that and move on. In the UK, homeless people will die on average 30 years earlier than the general population. Largely that's due to addictions to drugs and alcohol, substances that might be the only way out of misery, the misery that they face. Now, obviously, I appreciate that the homeless situation is complex, and I don't want to start preaching about homelessness, but all I'm saying is the plight of this dad in this film and the son was one of the powerful elements of the film that made me think that there are people in our world which are going through, or who are going through awful hardship, but their stories are sort of too banal and mundane to report on the news. That there are prostitutes and homeless people that go missing every year and they die each year, and we wouldn't know, because in some ways we kind of forget that they exist in the first place. For some, I think The Forgotten, the movie, is going to be a slow and meandering horror, and they might not like it. And I can understand why some viewers might think that. But Frampton's film, I think, is still a gentle, chilling, and affectionate film. It's not perfect, but it's I liked it because it was a conscious move of the camera away from the rich, beautiful, successful people that we're all obsessed with, a little bit like what we looked at in Visions, even though I like Visions. But instead, this was a slow zoom on those people that we tend to forget. So, The Forgotten is out on DVD from Metrodome in the UK, but as of now, I'm not sure if it's available worldwide yet, but don't be surprised if it crops up on some streaming site like Netflix in the near future. It's worth checking out. Well, that's it for the Flicks the Church Forgot. Please do share and subscribe. Follow me on Twitter at RevPeterLaws, or read my monthly column, my horror movie column in the Fortune Times magazine. But until next time, don't forget, The Flicks the Church Forgot.